you know, just keeping our eyes on Him and staying thankful. And I think that no matter where we are, what we're doing, no matter how bad things seem to get, no matter what kind of challenges we have in our life, and man, we all have them, amen. I think the number one thing to do is just to keep being thankful. Just keep being thankful, you know. Oftentimes we say, well, we can be thankful that it isn't worse. Well, it may get worse. I'm not going to make you any promises that it won't, guys. But here's the thing to be thankful for. God's grace is always greater. I don't care how bad things may get in our own life or what kind of struggle that we may go through, because I've been there before and I've thought, well, nothing worse could, you know, nothing else could possibly happen. I've already had so many different things happening, so many different ways that it's coming at me, but sometimes that one more thing does happen and we can still be thankful because we know that God's still greater and He is still able to not only deliver us, guys, but to help us to be victorious. I think that's it right there. Living in victory, not living in defeat, not living like we're not sure if God's going to win this battle or not. We know for sure God wins. He's already won the battle. He said on the cross, it is finished. And He meant it. And I can tell you, He was preparing His people before He ever went to that cross. He was preparing a people. And, you know, we can look at the 12, the little band of disciples that He had, and sometimes we could say, you know, man, why didn't they get it better? They walked with Jesus. They lived personally with Him and things of that nature. Well, guys, whenever we feel that way, or maybe we say that in our mind, maybe you've never said that, but I think I have a few times. I've thought, man, they seem like they're kind of being knuckleheads right there, you know? It reminds me of God's grace. It reminds me of God's mercy. And it reminds me that if He was still being patient with them when they were being knuckleheads, He's still being patient with me while I'm being a knucklehead. He's got a plan for me. And it wasn't because they were so great. It wasn't because they had all these abilities. It wasn't because they were the A-team that God was able to carry the faith down 2,000 years to us. But I tell you guys, it was because of the power of God. And He was preparing them to be able to depend on their power even before He went to the cross. And He was preparing that people to be able to carry on the faith to the next generation. And I want you to know, He is preparing you and me today in the same way to depend on His power and His grace so that we can pass it down to the next generation. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if Jesus came back today. And I'll be honest, I'd be all right with that for myself. But I'm going to have to live like He may wait a little longer and go ahead and prepare my children and my grandchildren. Amen? And so let's look at Mark chapter 6 today, and we're going to be talking about going out two by two, guys. He prepared His disciples during this time, Mark chapter 6. And you know, we read last week verses 1 through 6 about how the people in His own hometown, His very own people, they kept stumbling over what they were seeing with their eyes. They saw that this was the Jesus that grew up in their town, and He had brothers and sisters. And of course, we know they were His half-brothers and half-sisters, right? Because he was one who was born in an unusual way, in a divine way, of a virgin birth. But still, they could see the physical Jesus, and they're saying, you know, who is He to be talking to us like that? He sounds like He's got this great authority, and we've even heard about the miracles, and we might have even seen a few, but isn't that just that Jesus that grew up down the street? And we talked about how we have to be careful to not get so familiar with Jesus that we forget who He is. You know, He's not just our buddy, although He is our closest friend, but He's God. He has authority, and He's King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, amen? And so as we keep that in mind, we're going to move on into verse 7 there. We're going to move on into verse 7. Of course, you know me, I'm going to back up to verse 6. And He marveled because of their unbelief. Then He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Didn't stop Jesus from doing what He was going to do. So He just continued on in verse 7. And He called the 12 to Himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. As we get to verse 8, I want to make sure that we're not just reading a history lesson here. I want to make sure that we are like accepting this to have authority over our life today. In verse 8, he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So they went. Let us pray. Dear God, as we come before you today, our Father in heaven, we look to you. We praise you. Just as you sent out your disciples in that day to carry out your work according to your power, we acknowledge that you send us out in the same manner. And God, you don't send us out powerless. If we will rely on you, if we will seek you, if we will stay surrendered to you, we have that power available to us today. We acknowledge your presence in our lives, that every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is not only called to serve you, but we are given your power and your anointing to serve you. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And our God is not powerless. And so, Lord, let us live like we know that we have your power, and let us live set apart, believing your word and doing what it says. And Lord, let us live in submission, because if we live in submission, then we have your authority. So bless us, Lord, today as we acknowledge this word is for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Let's begin to take this apart just a little bit. We go out two by two, and we got to remember that God provides everything else. This was a lesson that he was giving them, and I want us to know that one of the biggest dangers that we can have in learning God's word is sometimes we learn it like a history lesson that only had bearing for that day. But what I want us to know is this word also has implications for our day. The same God who commanded his disciples to go out in this way is the same God who will oversee us whenever we go out trusting him as well. So, number one thing I want us to kind of start off with here is the fact that you personally, you know, they say whenever you preach, don't just preach, you know, point your finger, okay? And if I do, then I got 3 pointing back at me, right? I displayed this to somebody that kept pointing at their dad the other day and blaming him. And I said, hey, did you notice you got 3 fingers pointing back at yourself? But I do today want to make it personal. I want to make it personal for every one of us sitting here. This is for me, and this is for you. But oftentimes in a church setting, everybody thinks the pastor is the only one who's called. I want us to know we are all called. You are called by Jesus himself. So in that next slide, let's just kind of set the tone here. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 before we get in back into this area of Mark chapter 6. Let's look at Romans 1, 5 through 7. It's on your paper that you had. If you got a bulletin, it's also up on the screen. And through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. I'm the one who put the underline on there. But I wanted to do that for emphasis so that you realize this is speaking to every last one of us. You are the called of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself has called you, and he's got a purpose for you. And he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to experience His grace? Then answer His call. Do you want to experience His peace? Then answer His call. Let's just get that part out of the way right here at the beginning of the service. Some people wait to the end for the invitation, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved, you need to hear it at the beginning of the service, because you shouldn't waste another breath. None of us know how many we have. We need to be ready to go stand before Jesus right now. And I want to say that if you're ready, if you are truly His, if you are a child of God, if He has called you and you have answered that call and you have said, "Yes, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord. Personally, I want to turn my life over to You," then I want you to know you are also called to serve Him. You have His authority if you've received Him as your Lord, because He sent His Spirit. And I want you to know without a doubt that this is true. And then we can move into Mark chapter 6, verse 7, because then this message isn't just to those 12 guys, it's to everybody who's called in Christ. So as we look at Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and He called the 12 to Himself. Before we go out, we got to make sure we go in to that inner chamber with Christ. We get our direction from Him. Whatever we got to do to get everything else out of the way, to take that time to be with Jesus, we got to make sure that we answer His call to just come into closeness and listen to Him. Guys, this needs to be a daily experience for us. Do I get an amen? This don't need to be something we did one time 40 years ago, and I'm pretty sure I'm okay now because I did it 40 years ago. We need to be doing it every day. We need to be getting together with Jesus. We need to be starting out our day in Christ. I don't know what that looks like for you, and I'm not going to try to tell you if it don't look like this, you're not doing it. But what I know is it's got to include His Word in some way, shape, or form. You need to be listening to it, reading it, letting someone else read it to you, praying it. You need to be in God's Word every day. God calls us. Jesus calls us to Himself. He doesn't call us to just a religion. It is a religion. But more than a religion, it's a relationship. We need to make sure that we don't get into the religious part of it and say, "Yeah, well, I got my name on a roll in a church somewhere, so that means I've got the power." No. What you need to know is that you've been called to Jesus, and you're going to Him every day and spending time with Him and receiving more and more of His grace for the day and for what He's got you called to do. Here's the deal, guys. Something else that we begin to see here is, I kind of broke verse 7 up just a little bit, and I'm just going to kind of, so that's like 7A, and then we're going to have 7B, and then we're going to have 7C. But the first part is, I want you to know you're called by Jesus. Second part I want you to know is, there's no Lone Ranger Christians. Did you notice? He began to send them out two by two. Guys, He wants us to be connected. He wants us to be connected with one another. Now, one thing I can say is sometimes your connected one might live in the same house with you, and that's pretty cool whenever that happens, you know? And so we could easily say, well, a spouse, you know? And my wife, she definitely is my compliment in this. We serve the Lord together, okay? And sometimes I go out with Brother Bill. Sometimes he's my two, you know. And whenever I do it, isn't like I'm leaving my wife to do that. But like we're all doing it somewhat together, because she's praying while we're going. But we go out two by two. Sometimes I do make visits by myself, because that's just where I am, and I won't avoid being able to minister to someone. But whenever I'm planning to go out, I plan to go out with other believers. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a couple different reasons. First of all, we need to do this thing in community. God wants us to be connected together. Do I get an amen on that? I'm preaching to the choir because you guys came today. But I want you to know you did the right thing. And you need to continue to stay connected to the body. But as you're here today, I want you to be saying, you know, God, who's my ministry partner in this? Because you're called to ministry. We've already decided that. And so now we need to be seeing who you to be paired up with to do this ministry from day to day. And God's got a plan in all of this. He's provided this, but now we need to submit to it and do it, Okay? So he's going to send them out two by two. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. And then the third thing we want to see from this from verse 7 as well, is that he gave spiritual authority to them. Do I get an amen? And gave them power over unclean spirits. What's an unclean spirit? It's a demon. He gave them power over the demons. Okay, now I want you to understand, that wasn't something they could walk away from Jesus and say, well, I don't really believe in Jesus anymore, but look, I got power over unclean spirits. No, the power was still his, but he was flowing his authority and power through them. And as they stayed connected to Jesus, they would have everything they need, that they wouldn't even have to fear the evil spirits that were going to come against them. Guys, whenever the power of God is going forward, whenever the kingdom of God is going forward, you need to make no mistake about it, there's a spiritual battle that's going to happen. And though we don't want to blame everything on the devil, we still got the flesh that works against us as well. We do need to understand he and his demons are a powerful force in the spiritual realm. And I can tell you, number one way they get us is through deception. And the more you spend time with Jesus, the less they can deceive you. And so in that way alone, you will gain more power over the enemy through spiritual discernment. But the number one thing is, whenever you go out in obedience to him, you do have power in him over unclean spirits. So don't fear the enemy. The only one you need to fear is God himself, that we would just obey his mighty word. So you have the spiritual authority in him whenever you have received his calling and you agree with him. Sometimes he even tells us not to provide certain things that we're going to necessarily need, certain necessities in life. Did you notice he told them something? He said he commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. You notice it also didn't send them out with all the self-defense weapons either. I'm not picking. I'm not trying to bring up like a really controversial subject. But I'm just going to tell you, if God's got your eternity, he can take care of you right now too. Okay? So I'm not condemning anything, but I'm just saying, ultimately, we just need to make sure we're trusting God first. Okay, so he sent them out. The only thing they had was a staff, so I guess that could have been a little bit of self-defense. I don't know, fight the dogs off with it. Sometimes I wish I had one when we went to do visits around here. But I can tell you, 12 years I've been doing visitation in Washington County. Most of the time, just me and Bill, and he always lets me get out of the car first. And I haven't been bit once yet. I have prayed over a couple of those dogs and rebuked the enemy in them, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I know Satan would use one of those dogs to turn us back from a home we need to go into. But you know what, guys? God's protected us. We have driven up on meth labs, and we've seen people that were very serious about us not wanting us to be there before. But I'm just going to tell you guys, the devil has never prevailed against us, and he's not going to. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that none of that will ever touch me. If it does, it's because God allowed it to and because he ordained it for a purpose. That I can know for sure. So we don't have to fear. We can go out. We can trust him. In fact, he told them, don't take a bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Now, this doesn't mean that we never prepare for a trip, okay? Sometimes God says, I want you to prepare. Now, there's certain aspects I just want you to trust me on. You know, my first overseas mission trip, I did not have the money to make that trip even up to within 2 weeks of leaving on it. And it was a rather expensive trip. I was going to need at least $3,500 to go on it. And I had raised about $1,700 up to that point. Now, ask me, was I getting worried yet? I was. And I was getting a little concerned, but I was believing that God would provide. And you know when God provided? About a week and a half before I went, he actually provided the resources. I'm glad he didn't wait till the last day, because I probably would have had an ulcer. But you know what? God will provide. He even provided a little more than what I needed. And boy, whenever I got there, I saw why. Because I was able to leave the extra with the saints who were continuing on and still have a relationship with some of them today. So God knows what we need. God will provide what we need. And he will even tell us what we need to provide for ahead of time. And sometimes he'll tell us, don't worry about that over there. I'll take care of it. Okay? My first mission trip to on a disaster relief trip, the team before us had gone to New Orleans, and they told us how they almost starved to death because they were only getting a couple of small meals a day because there weren't very many resources. And at the time, I was still maturing in the faith. I'd never been away from home on any kind of trip before, and I was scared to death I was going to starve to death. I was pretty sure if I went a couple days without eating enough and working that hard, I'd probably starve to death. But I went anyways. And whenever I got down there, by the time I got there, they had a cruise boat chef volunteer to make all of our meals, but he wanted to do it according to his standards. We ate the most amazing food the entire week and a half we were there. I think we all gained about 5 pounds. I could tell you the menu, but I don't want to spoil your thought on going to a mission trip because it may not work out quite that good for you. I'm not sure. But here's the thing. God took care of it. God will take care of us too. Okay? And so sometimes he tells us not to provide certain things for ourselves, and I'll tell you why. Because he's got a better plan. Because he wants to provide them miraculously. If he says, don't worry about that, it's because he'll provide in another way, okay? And look at how he says. He says also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. Guys, do you know by missionaries today, this is still the way that they go into a new place. They look for what they call a person of peace first. And what will happen is, if God is preparing that place for your message and God has prepared you to go to that place, you know what else he's preparing? Somebody to receive you in that place. And whenever you've been praying for it, when you've been asking about it, whenever you've been trusting in it, and you know you got the grace of God, then you need to go there joyfully, believing somebody will receive you in whenever you get there. And I'll just tell you, that's another thing I've experienced everywhere I've gone in the world so far. Is a person of peace who is happy to see you. They are glad that you are there, and they feel it to be a blessing of God for them to be able to provide for you. Man, whenever we went to Mexico that first trip, it was amazing. And every trip we made, I went down there 3 times, and I'm just going to tell you, the people there in that house that we stayed in were so joyful. It was so humbling the way that they spoiled us the entire time. But I can say, I know they felt blessed to be able to do it too. And so don't refuse it. In fact, Jesus is saying, don't be too proud when you get there. Take it. Because that's their blessing to be able to give into your ministry. And in fact, stay there till you depart from that place. Because you know what, guys? Whenever they stayed there, they brought a blessing with them. So just their mere presence was bringing the blessing of the gospel into that place and even into their house. Who knows? God may even want you to be that person of peace to someone that comes into our town someday. And then you'll be blessed. And I'll tell you, you know you've been blessed when you get to serve a child of God who's serving the Lord. What a blessing. Guys, here's the next part I find whenever we get to verse 11. And this part always gives me a real reassurance. We aren't responsible for the results. Do I get an amen to that? Guys, here's the deal. We're only responsible to be obedient. God's going to take care of the results. So he even says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you, you need to stay there and beat it into them. Is that what he said? You need to condemn them to death, or you need to stay and just keep arguing with them for the next 2 or 3 years, even though they won't receive you. That isn't what he said. He said, and whoever will not receive nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And we don't need to take this lightly because of this next part he says. But guys, I'm going to tell you, if they absolutely refuse the gospel, they're not refusing you. They're refusing Jesus. They're refusing Jesus. Don't take it personal. He's saying, as surely I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of the judgment than for that city. So yes, it's serious, and no, we don't want to condemn them, and we don't want to shake the dust off too early. But Jesus said, you're not responsible for the results, folks. You just be faithful. And whenever you do leave, it'll be a judgment against them, but it's not your responsibility. I praise God for that, because sometimes I can start feeling too responsible for other people, and that's too much burden for me to bear. Okay? I want you to know God does the work in the heart. You know the part that we're responsible for? Obeying Jesus. Obey Jesus is our only calling, guys. Go to that next slide there, Daniel. Obey Jesus is our only calling. So they went out and they preached. And I'll tell you what they preached. It's a simple message that people should repent. Guys, you may feel like that this is the wrong message, and the world may have convinced you that somehow or another this is a hateful message. But if you understand the heart that is coming from with God, from God, you will understand this is a loving message. And we shouldn't give it like, man, you need to repent. You're a terrible person. No, it's more like, brother, we all need to repent because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we bring that message as a we message, as one who's already found that out, and we've received the blessing, and we know they'll receive the blessing too if they'll first repent. What does the word repent mean? It means turn away from. It means you're going in the wrong direction and you're going to turn around. Sin is the wrong direction, and we need to turn away from it and turn to God. It's the first step of being able to be saved. And here's the deal. After we've obeyed Jesus' calling, then Jesus brings the results. Can I get an amen to that? I can tell you, my wife is the one who led me to Christ, but my wife didn't save me. My wife brought the message to me, and she was faithful. But I'm going to tell you, the night that it really took hold was the night she said, I'm not arguing with you anymore. I'm just going to pray for you. And it hit me like a sledgehammer. I thought, she's not going to argue with me anymore. Man, I must have really went too far. I'm in trouble. If she ain't even going to talk to me about it anymore, then I better get this deal figured out. And I realized that night that my argument wasn't with her anyways. It was with God all along. And man, I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to win an argument with God. You see, Jesus brings the result. And they cast out many demons. And they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Guys, I'm going to tell you, those miracles weren't just to fix people's physical problems only. God gave them authority to help them with their physical problems so that he could heal their spiritual problem, to bring about faith. And some would say these were sign gifts to be able to do this. It was a gift that was given so that they could give a sign that the kingdom was still here. I'm going to tell you guys, people still see the sign through these miracles happening today. And I understand that maybe, you know, nobody can run around and say, you know, I'm the faith healer, I do all this. We shouldn't ever take the credit for it. But Jesus still does heal today. I've seen it so many times. I've seen it in my own life. And it has just resulted in bringing about a stronger faith in my heart. That's what God wants to do. So here's everything that we need from this point on. First thing you need is faith. Do you have the faith to follow Jesus? Do you have the saving faith that's brought you to his throne to surrender yourself, to repent of your sin, to call on him to be your Lord? Lord means boss. It means king. It means he's the one calling the shots of your life. He's the one directing your steps from that point on. Do you have that faith? If you do, you got the first thing you need. Now you need a friend. You need a friend who's like you in that faith. This is a ministry partner. If you got a husband or a wife, you can say, well, look at that. God's already given me one. If they're a believer too, you guys are two by two everywhere you go. You can pray together. Two have agreed. You got a built-in partner. Maybe that don't work in your situation, but I guarantee you God has given you somebody to partner with in your life. I'll tell you, sometimes it's some of our children that we've raised. Some of them are my partner at times. You know, I have an older son, John. He'll call me from time to time and just say, "Dad, what can I pray for you about?" And I'm like, "Yeah, praise the Lord." And sometimes I needed it so much. You know, that's exactly the way it needs to happen. Some of you just have been close friends with another believer for many years. That's because that's one of your partners. So you got the faith. Now you know you got the friend. Okay, that's going to be your partner to go out 2x2 somewhere, sometime with. And then the last thing is you just need to know the Father in heaven provides all the rest of everything you're going to need. I don't know how he'll do it, but I just know he will. Oftentimes he uses his people and he just flows his blessing through them. Sometimes you get to be one. He flows the blessing through. Praise the Lord. But here's the deal, guys. He has never let us down, and he will never let us down. You got to know that for the future, you just trust him. God has called you for such a time as this. Now let's stand for Christ. Do I get an amen? Let's pray. Dear God, as we get ready to go into the song of invitation, Lord, let us stand for you today. Let us stand for you tomorrow. Let us continue to stand for you until we're standing before you. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless this time of invitation, that our hearts would just be sold out to you, that we would be in step with your Spirit, that we would be fully trusting you. And God, I pray that you would be glorified. And one thing I know for sure, you're not going to let us down. As soon as we step across that line into full submission to you, into taking that step, like stepping out of the boat like Peter did that day to walk on the water. He had to fully step out of that boat to be able to walk on that water. Amen. And Lord, you met him there. It wasn't until he started doubting that he began to sink. And then you still came to his aid and lifted him up. So God, help us just to be sold out believers all the way in and realizing we are called to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.